there we go. So the problem with this, I'll just tell you, I'm not Italian, but I do talk with my hands. I converted when I got married, and she ran away. But, yeah, so I'll just say a lot with this hand, and then maybe I'll switch. You'll just have to keep an eye on my volume because I tend to do this. Yes, just, Beverly, just yell at me. Father, we thank you. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Samuel. We're coming into a season in this church and in the earth. Today I'm going to be talking about birthing in the Spirit, and I think it's appropriate because next week is Mother's Day, or also known in the church realm as Bring Your Mom to Church Day. So Mother's Day is coming up. We have some expecting mothers in the room. I won't make you raise your hands. Those hands are tired, I know. Yes, we can give them a hand. You know who you are. There is a reality that God spoke to my heart that I want to share with you this morning, and it has to do with the season that our church is going into. Now, maybe you don't know, but Pastor Paul just became a granddad. Or a grandpa. Well, what are we calling it in your family? No-no? Papa? Papa Paul. We'll work on some nicknames. Dave, you're the nickname guy. You work on something for us. So what happens in the natural a lot of times is dictating what is occurring in the supernatural. So we see one of our pastors just became a grandpa. Last week, we retired the father of the house. And I believe that the Lord is saying this morning, he is becoming a grandfather of the house. And the only way for that to happen is for something to be birthed. For God to bring something through this church, to bring something to the earth in this reality. So we're going to be mixing words this morning from spiritual and natural. And I'm going to use the idea of birthing something to help us understand the season that we're going into. As he didn't just graduate and leave. He graduated to stay. He took an honored place as the grandfather. And I joked a lot of this stuff with him. It's kind of nice as a grandpa. Any grandparents hand the kid back to the father, right? Or the mother. I was on diaper duty as a dad. That was my part. You carry the baby, I'll change the diapers. I kind of got the raw end of the deal, but it was my idea, so. So there's this whole part that we kind of understand about after the baby's born, but not many of us really understand the birthing process. So if you do have your Bibles, we're going to start in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 9. There has been a very sweet presence of the Lord in our worship times, in our prayer times. A few weeks ago, the Spirit of God fell in this place. It was like a glory cloud. People were on their faces, laid out over the altar on a Tuesday night. If you're home on your couch on a Tuesday night and not here on the altar a Tuesday night, it's not too late to repent and change your plans and put it on the calendar, because God is moving in the Spirit in this place. And I think he's specifically doing a work in those of us who will press into that and travail. For those of us that will accept the season that we're in and move into the season that he's calling us to in preparation, he's going to release the spirit of intercession among us in a way that this church hasn't seen maybe in a long time. I believe that he's doing something with us if we will push, right? So there's going to be a lot of pregnancy terminology today. If we will push into that place, we will see breakthrough. I mean, many of us have been carrying something for a long time. We're going to talk about carrying. This is a word that the Lord has been speaking to our family. So just a raise of hands, who made it out to the woman's thing yesterday, put on by Susan and the crew. My wife was given a little bit of the Cliff's Notes of what I'm going to be speaking on today. she was focusing more on intercession. And that intercession is found here in 1 Samuel. It's the prayer of Hannah. What Hannah did was she dedicated something that she gave something to the Lord before she even had it. Let me say that again. She dedicated something to the Lord before it was even in her possession, before it was even given to her. She partnered with the vision of heaven and conceived something of God and dedicated to give it back to him. And in that obedience, God did a mighty work. So I'm going to read to you 1 Samuel a little bit through this chapter so you can leave your Bibles open to it. 1 Samuel 1 and 9. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the door of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him back to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used upon his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. I'm going to keep reading, but I want to put a little note in right there. In Acts 2, we saw when prayer was released, people that didn't discern it thought they were drunk. When true prayer in the Spirit is being released and no words can be perceived, it doesn't make sense to the onlookers. It may look a little messy, a little stumbly, a little drunk. It looks a little weird. This is right here in Scripture. It says she was standing. She was standing in the presence of the Lord. Eli was kicked back in a chair against the wall. And she is praying in the Spirit of God, and she's praying in anguish in a way that the onlooker, he thought she was a mess. She probably looked like a disaster. It didn't make any sense. And her mouth is moving. She's praying in anguish, standing in the presence of God, and nothing is coming out. Have you ever prayed a prayer where the anguish and the pain, the travail was so deep within you that when you open your mouth, nothing comes out? It's the kind of messy where snot is just falling, where you're losing your breath, you feel like you got the wind knocked out of you. Maybe you get to a place of prayer and you're gasping for air. It is a deep, intense place that most of us don't ever get to, and it's why it's tried to translate in the English language as birthing pains. Because women are the only ones that really understand that, like, the ultimate mess and feeling of pushing through. And there's a place in that shout, in that travail, in that crying out that moves. When another shout joins it, when the thing comes into reality and we hear the baby cry, the shout of the mother turns into a shout of victory. It moves from a place of pain to a place of praise. All right, if I keep doing that, we're not going to get anywhere. Verse 15. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. Everybody say deeply troubled. Troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Her response snaps this guy into God's heavenly reality, and all of a sudden, he's like, oh, okay, you've not been drinking all night and then just stumbled into the temple. Now you're actually here praying before God in great anguish, and his heart turns towards her and what the Lord is doing. And he says, go in peace, And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, God, if you give this to me, I'll dedicate it to you. If you give it to me, I'll give it to you. If you give it to me, I'll give it away. I'll give it to you. We see this theme in Abraham, where they were struggling. They were in a barren womb. Nothing was coming forth. And God gave him a son and then called him to give the son back. And we all know the story, right? He's called to dedicate his son on an altar. So we don't see the plan that God is unfolding for it to be for himself. And so it doesn't come to pass. And we still carry something that has been conceived, but we're not pushing through so that it can be dedicated to God. We're not pushing through for it to be something that belongs to the Lord. I think people here have been carrying things for years, and I'm hoping that this today, the word of the Lord goes forth in a way that causes us to respond in passionate prayer. And I think some of us can relate to the anguish. If you've been around, the Lord has been moving. It's not uncommon to see someone flat out on the floor in this place crying out to God in anguish, in travail. And it can sound like birth pains, because as the Spirit brings us to a place of pushing for breakthrough, moving to the next thing that we know God has put in our heart, it's been conceived and we've been carrying it, and he's calling us to a place of birthing in the Spirit so that the season that he's calling us to can come. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and she ate something. That's significant. We'll come back to it. And her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. And then they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. He answered her prayer. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel became a mentor to King David. King David was anointed long before he was made king, and then he was made king of the southern kingdom. 17 years he waited until he was king of Israel. But when we're in Sunday school and we put the pictures on the felt board, we kind of skip over those decades of time where he conceived the idea that he was anointed for something, and he carried it for years and years and years until it finally came to pass. Joseph also sat on a throne, but he had to be betrayed by his brothers. There is a very significant thing to the pain that you have endured. And I think that if we misinterpret it, respond the wrong way, that pain can be our destruction. It can abort what God has conceived. But if we allow the pain to direct us to a place where God can use us and we press in, those prayers will produce breakthrough. I have some things I had to write down. I'm not really a read it kind of guy when it comes to preaching. Some of you noticed. But there's been a Spirit of God stirring in this every time it comes up in conversation. Paul and I had a moment where we were struck by the Holy Spirit on the way to lunch with Travis. But there you are. I looked at Paul at one point. He's driving. We're speaking in tongues and glory to God. And I said, I don't know if Travis knows what he's in for. This is like, whoo, the Lord fell in revelation in the car. Different times, I'm just going to read what God has prepared for the church. What God promises often comes wrapped in pain before it manifests in power. There's some seasons that our church has been in where it has felt like heaven has been silent, where promises seem delayed and prayers feel unanswered. And I feel like God is speaking to us in this season saying, do not misread the season you are not dying, you are carrying something. And all the women in this room have ever been pregnant, felt like, this is going to kill me. It's hurting, right? Just, if I could opt out at any moment, is there a second phase of an epidural? Can I have more? Right? Some of us have experienced that type of pain in life where it feels like the pain that we are going through is crushing us and is killing us, and it comes through in a place of pain where God will meet us. There's moments in the kingdom of God when he deposits something in a people that can't come forth through convenience. We would want to sit back and have it just birthed in our lives, and that's not the way birthing works. And he's allowed us to come through these moments where we often endure pain inflicted by other people or our own stupidity. Can't overlook that one. But it doesn't just happen on its own. The reality that we are praying for is going to come not through convenience, but through travail. It comes through groaning prayer, through nights that nobody saw, through tears that nobody applauded. It comes through moments where you were just messy. I should have expected God to wreck me in worship today. I went looking for, like, you guys over here have all the tissues. You're all over here. I'm sitting on the wrong side. I had to take the official box over. Restock. Hannah looked barren to men, but God saw a womb. God saw a birthing place. He saw a womb for a prophet, probably the greatest prophet. Some of you, as you look at your lives and you look at yourselves, you might think that you're empty, but that's not what heaven sees. Heaven sees that you're carrying something. In fact, if you're saved, God has deposited a vision and a dream and a calling in each one of us. And, you know, this church has gone through a lot of things. I'm the new guy. If you don't know already, I just kind of showed up recently. Long story, won't get into it. But there was an overall sense that this church was in the waiting room. And I want to declare to you this morning that we are not in the waiting room. We are in the delivery room. We are in a place and a season where God is bringing something forth. It was marked last week. There was a moment where he graduated to the place of honor. There was a word that was brought forth by Travis. Seemed like just nice words unless you were listening closely. The baton has been passed to a generation, and is our job to travail and push into prayer to bring these things to fruition, to bring these things forth. It's not an easy task. Sometimes it's easier to carry than it is to birth forever. Because waiting brings pain. We are coming to a place where we are encouraging all of us to press in deeper, to push through in prayer harder. There's something that is trying to come forth in this ministry and in the families that are here. We are all in this together. God is doing something in the church, and in the supernatural, he's also doing something in the natural, in your families and in your lives. You felt the pain. You felt the pressure. You felt the betrayal. You felt the shift. You felt the discomfort. And it's not because something is dying. It's because something is coming. This is where we're going. I came to announce that what has been delayed is also about to be delivered. Thank you, God. When God wants to birth something, he starts with a holy dissatisfaction. So here's where all of that came from Hannah. 1 Samuel, if we back up all the way to 6, she found herself in a situation. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. She sees what other churches have. She sees what other people have. She sees the blessings on everyone else but her. The one thing she wants the most is given freely to other people. And she refuses to eat she's sick to her stomach, and she walks into the presence of God, fasting and praying and saying, if you give me the desire that I want, the thing that I think you've placed in me to want and desire so much, if you give that to me, I will dedicate it to you. She wept bitterly in anguish and pain. And it was only after the guy got up and said, go your way, the Lord will give you what you've asked for. She believed, and she ate. A little slow. Why did she eat? Because she believed the word that came forth to her from the man of God in the house. There is something that we can do with the word today that brings forth the thing. And it's obedience and believing. She was one of two wives, and the other wife kept having babies. And she didn't. And that other wife would probably call her names and make fun of her because she didn't have the one thing that she wanted. Really uncomfortable situations that we can relate to today, like church hurt stuff, right? Like, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. I wasn't wrong. The Lord closed Hannah's womb. It wasn't like she was the wicked one. She was accused of being wicked for a moment by the man of God. Some people have gone through tremendous amount of pain at the hands of church and Christians. And instead of turning that into travail and birthing something that God has placed in them, regardless of what everyone is saying all around, we just hold it and carry it until someday it's just stillborn. We give it up. We don't even expect that dream to live anymore. I believe God has placed dreams in the hearts of people who have gone through pain at the hands of the church and at the hands of Christians, that if we don't obey the word of the Lord and believe and get into a place of fasting and prayer and embrace the pain and the season that we've gone through, that thing that we had a dream in our heart will never come through. It'll never break through without prayer. The messy kind, the anguish kind, the kind even Paul called childbirth. This is not an Old Testament concept. The discomfort that you might feel might not be the enemy attacking you. It may be God awakening you. But we can get in a place where we lack so much discernment that the flat tire that God gave you so you didn't get in the accident that would have ended your life, we rebuke the devil for it instead of thanking God, because we don't have discernment for the way that God is dealing with us in the hour. We should always be asking if this bad circumstance is somehow God moving on my behalf, because his kingdom doesn't work the way we think. Some churches grow comfortable in routine, and God allows dissatisfaction because he's preparing them for a fresh move of God. I believe he's preparing us for a move of God. You begin to feel restless in old seasons. You start to feel the pressure of the new wine and the old wineskin. And there's a new wine that is coming forth and a new wineskin that God is pouring out so that we can carry and we can shepherd the move of God that's coming. We have to get into a place of prayer, a place of travail, a place of pushing through for breakthrough. And this isn't just for like the church and the ministry. This is for you personally. Think of the pain that you're carrying. Instead of cursing it and going, where is God? Maybe we allow God to conceive something in us that we've carried that pain to a place of releasing it in breakthrough, in travail, in childbirth. What happens is the doors fling open and the prodigals return. What happens is suddenly the financial provision that you thought was impossible comes through. Because you've gone to a place of prayer, the thing that you've held dear in your heart and said, God, am I supposed to suffer my whole life without this? Everyone else is getting married. Everyone else is having kids. Everyone else seems successful. What about me? And instead of getting bitter, will we turn it back to you, God, and say, if you give me a child, I'll raise him in the way that he should go. If you give me a spouse, I will honor you every day of my life. God, would you give me the desires that you've conceived down in my heart? Instead of getting bitter towards the Lord about it, what if we went to a place of travail, a place of deep prayer, pain, and anguish, and embrace it and say, I will look messy. I will do whatever I got to do to bring forth what God has put in me. I'm brushing comfort to the side. When David had a desire in his heart to build a house for the Lord, he dedicated, he said, I'm not even going to sleep. I won't give slumber to my eyes. I won't go sleep in my bed. We know David did sleep. He wasn't fasting sleep. It wasn't a sleep fast. But what he was saying is, this is so important to me that the very things that keep us alive aren't first place anymore. I will fast. I will pray. I will press in, because I'd rather die in a place of prayer than to get to heaven without my children. Have to. I'm going to cry. I'm going to go through a box of tissues. I don't care what anybody thinks. If I am pressing into a place that God has called me to pray, no offense, but what you think doesn't matter. These are serious things. You are pregnant with a dream. You are pregnant with a promise. And those things don't happen on their own. What God conceives, it must be carried in secret before it's seen in public. That pain that you feel in your spirit isn't punishment, it's pregnancy. You are pregnant with a dream for what God wants to bring forth. Hannah carried Samuel before anyone saw him. Every divine promise has a hidden season. Everything that we do has a place of prayer where we go in, we close the door, and we just get raw before God. Raw. He knows those words, those sentences that are on your heart. God, why would you do this to me right now? You just get real with him. You won't offend him. You be yourself. You speak to him the way it happens in your heart. He doesn't care about your version of your polished up version of you. He wants your heart. And so you sit before him and you cry. And you say, I feel so wounded by this, and I feel so hurt by this, and I thought I did everything right. God, would you come through? Because we need breakthrough. We can't just sit in the season of waiting. Because when you start waiting too long, you stop believing. You sit in that waiting room so long, you watch everybody go in to see the doctor, you start thinking, he ain't going to call my name. He's not going to come for me. You start packing up your stuff, you grab your purse and your coat, and you leave. You ever go to the waiting room and it says, this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. If you waited more than 20 years, come back up. Come back up to the reception desk. If you feel like you've waited too long, don't leave. Don't go and be bitter and disobedient. Come back up. Come back up. Let us know. You're still waiting. You're still patient. You are still here. God, I am still here. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for those things. I believe it in my heart. I conceived this dream long ago, and I will not stop pressing in until I see it come to pass, because God is birthing something in us. Who's carrying something this morning? Nobody? And in closing, all right, I'm going to go down to church and preach this to somebody else. We might realize what we're praying for, and we can get disheartened in those prayers. We might realize it's been a long time and wonder, what is God doing? That's a common question. We should be asking it all the time. Sit before the Lord. Hey, if I was God, probably would have done this by now. I don't know if you're busy, but when you get pregnant, you don't have a baby the next day. There's always waiting. There's always growth and maturity and God's timing that is all being wrapped up in this whole beautiful package that is about to be delivered. It may seem like it's hidden and it may seem like it's invisible now, but heaven has already initiated it. When Daniel fasted and prayed, he found out on the last day that it was released on the first day. What we've been waiting for and thinking God hasn't done anything with it, he's already released it in heaven. There is war happening in the heavenlies, and he just wants us to come into a place of persistence, of persistence. It's like the Christian church Lamaze, where we need to learn how to breathe. We need to learn how to just keep going, keep pressing, keep breathing. You can do this. If you give up, guess what happens? You pass out. They wake you up with a baby. I want to be there when those doors fling wide open. I want to be there when the promise breaks through. I want to be there when the kids turn around and come back. I want to be there. I don't want to be passed out. I don't want to be passive. I don't want to be missing in action. I want to be the one on the line when they say, it finally happened. I can only imagine what it looks like from the other side. So I got this necklace I wear around my neck. It's a more permanent version of the one I originally received. When I first ran into family and people close to my family, someone put this around my neck. And the words that he said when he saw me as a saved adult for the first time, it was me coming back to the Lord. I got saved. I was wickedly lost. I came back. And he said, you can see it all over your face. You can see it all over you. I want all of us to be present to see the darkness wiped off of someone's face. I want us to be present to see what we've been praying for. Pastor Paul, you finally got to see your grandbaby recently. The knowledge that it exists is different than holding it in your hands, isn't it? It's a different experience. It's a different experience. Look at somebody and say, my promise is coming home. Travail is the language of spiritual birth. 1 Samuel verse 10, it says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me. Hannah prayed deeply. She wept bitterly. Too many times we think we got to be all polished up before the Lord. Isaiah 66 says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There is a childbirthing prayer, a messy cry. We say, cry out to God. We even sing some songs, shout to the Lord, but none of us start shouting, do they, Dawn? We just sing, shout to the Lord, but we don't ever go, victory! Blow the trumpet in Zion! Right? And in October, we had this does two things. It proclaims war and victory at the same time. In one blast, war and victory comes out. Because when we resist the enemy, he flees. We resist. We stand and resist. He flees. That's what the Bible says. If you haven't seen it in your life, shout. Blow the trumpet. Cry in anguish. What I'm saying is if you're not seeing the enemy flee and you think you're resisting, maybe it's time to get messy. Maybe it's time to get messy. Maybe it's time to get into travail. Maybe it's time to get here on a Tuesday night, put your arm around somebody's shoulder and say, I need somebody to pray with me because I'm growing weary in well-doing. I am getting tired. I am losing my steam. I'm running out of patience for the waiting room, and I need this thing to be delivered. Would you pray with me? Because you're not in it alone. Travail is a language of spiritual birth. Some things only come through the intensity of the life that you live. Jesus put it this way, they come not out. They come not out. There is no victory without a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Because these things aren't scared of you. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Why? because they lived in a place of prayer. Paul said, I pray more than you all. They lived in a place of prayer. They prioritized prayer above all things, and they got into a place where the tears were not a show, where the tears were bitter weeping and anguish from pain. Paul said, my dear children, for whom I again, this is Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until what? Till Christ is formed in you. Some of us are just praying for that. That can be our, like, verse of the year. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in them. I will not stop praying until Christ is formed in my kids. I will not stop praying until Christ is formed in you. You know what happens when this room is empty? We pray for you. We pray because Satan would love to sift you like wheat. But I pray that your faith would not fail. It's Jesus took the highest position. He is in heaven in the highest position. You know what he's doing? Forever making intercession on your behalf. He said, of all of the things I can do with my time for these next 2,000 years, I'm going to pray for my children. Help these lost souls. I think some of us would be shocked to hear how Jesus releases things in the earth. He is passionate. If Paul was driven to travail, to childbirthing, sounding, painful, anguishing prayer, then why would we think Jesus was just soft and calm? I think he cares. I think he's an emotional God. He prayed in John 17, Father, I desire for that they would be one, like you and I are one. A high priestly prayer. You know, there was another time he's praying in the garden, and he's praying so hard that blood began to mix with his sweat. He was praying so hard he was sweating. That's a milestone for right there. When's the last time you prayed so hard you were sweating? Now, he was praying so hard his sweat was mixing with blood. It was dropping from his head as droplets of blood, because science tells us that when you are so engulfed in something like that, the capillaries in your sweat glands break and blood comes out. It wasn't any kind of magical thing that he did. This gives us insight into our big brother Jesus and how he prays for us and his family. This is an insight. This is an example of how we should pray about serious things. Now, maybe you haven't taken what God has conceived in you as serious. Let today be the wake-up call. You are carrying something that God is calling you to bring forth into the reality in this earth. And when that happens, whoosh! Oh, we want revival, but we don't want to birth it. We want all of these things in prayer, but we don't want to do the hard part. We want to be the midwife and just go, push harder. But God is calling us to go, whoa! And press in and get loud and get messy. Well, I don't know. I mean, the American church is so calm and reserved, and not when your team's losing by 1 point. That just went out the window. We have some insight into your prayer life, what you can accomplish if you root for Jesus and revival like you root for your favorite sports team. The place of pain, when it cuts you, when it strikes you, when you don't want to get up and get out of bed and go to work because it's wrecked you, when that happens, that is the place where pain becomes the place of birth. That's where you have to keep pressing in. So many of us are like, I'll pray hard, I'll press in until it hurts. No. This is the good news and the bad news all at once. When it hurts, it's working. When it hurts, it's working. when it's actually cutting you to the place where you're going to pray, you're not going to forget to pray. Nobody forgets to pray about their prodigal sons. Nobody forgets that because it matters so deeply to you. When we start prioritizing the things of God and the calling of God in our lives and the things that he's told us to pray after, when we start to prioritize that, we shift everything in our life around it. It takes center stage. This is what God wants from me. You don't forget. She said, I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. She had pain from a friend, a sister. She had pain. And instead of spreading it around how awful she was, because she was being pretty awful, instead of that, what did she do? She took it to God. She took her pain and said, I'm going to bring this to the presence of the Lord, and I am going to weep, and I am going to pray before God, and I am going to claim this is a promise, and if you do this, God, I will honor you, I will give him to you. And she brought forth something miraculous and prophetic that would go on to mentor the greatest king of Israel. Such a place of honor, it says that Jesus sits on the throne of David. Such a place of honor and greatness in such a faulty human being. So the reason that we back up from pain is because we're afraid God won't honor us based on our imperfections. Guess what? He went to the cross. He went to the cross so that doesn't have to be part of the conversation anymore. Now we can come boldly to the throne. He's made a way for us. He's removed the veil. It's been torn. I'm not just pushed back. I needed both hands for tearing. He's made a way. And then in Jeremiah 33, he says, come up to me. Come up to me so I can tell you things that have never been spoken before. He has secrets specifically designed for you. Callings specifically for you. He's not calling a whole people. He's calling one at a time into the secret place to come and meet with the King of Glory. Because your wound, he doesn't just want to heal it. He wants to create a womb from the wound. He's going to take your pain and use it for his greatest glory. That's his example on the cross, was to take the greatest kind of pain and use it for the greatest kind of victory and glory. The way that the enemy would love to destroy you is now going to be the way that God glorifies his son in you. And he brings the name of Jesus through your life. Getting amped up over here. What this church has cried over, decline, loss, hurt, and pain, it may be the very ground for revival if we press into it. Your betrayal becomes your discernment. That's what happens. The suffering births authority. It's the wound that brings forth the greatest glory. It's your delay brings maturity. Oh, I've been waiting. Well, God knows you're not ready. He's doing a work in you. He's preparing you. Don't despise the waiting room. It is the training room. It is the ready room. It's the one where if it's not happening now, he's testing. Let's see. Will she give up? Or will she press in for me? You're in the waiting room to see the doctor. If you wait a long time, you start thinking, it's not that bad. I'll go take some Tylenol and I'll try and see how I feel tomorrow. And we do that with God. We'll just, you know what? My problems aren't that bad. Or we just blindly believe. Well, all things work together for those. And we quote Bible verses that doesn't inspire us to live a certain way. For those who are called according to the Lord's purposes in your life, if you embrace that, did you think he called you to the couch for 4 hours a night? He said, go in your door, close your door. That's where he is in your life. He's in the secret place. He desires to meet you privately. He loves you so much. He's not trying to meet you at church. He's trying to get you alone. It's intimacy that he wants. Not a group, gathering, all together. That's part of it. But he wants you alone. He wants the secrets of your heart to be exposed before the King of the world. He wants to see you at that guttural level of, I don't think I can go on if this doesn't come out. Psalms 126 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The enemy tried to bury you in sorrow, but God knew that you were planted for a harvest. What the enemy meant for evil, your pain, your hurt, those bad years, what he meant for evil, he's now going to use for his glory. When the birthing comes, it belongs to God. She said, for I pray, this child I pray, therefore also that I have given him to the Lord. What God brings forth in us has to be surrendered back to him. I think the kids coming in is my sign. Can I have the worship team back up? Somebody get this kid a cookie. Give some money. Yeah. By him all things were created. How can we talk about that for the last 30 minutes and then despise the children coming in the room? Because you know what? This whole story is about a woman who was in anguish because she didn't have that. This whole story is about a woman who looked on things like that and said, God, why not me? Why not now? God, would you bring forth this thing in my life that I desire so greatly? God, would you bring, I promise if you give this to me, I will dedicate him back to you. Because we need to know something. If the Father gives it, then the Father governs it. If he provides the promise, if he gives the breakthrough, he wants control of it. Because it is by his will and not our own will. It is by his will. We don't want the promise to run away and do what we want with it. He says, I'm going to pour out the provision that you've been praying for, but I want it dedicated for my purposes, the calling in your life. He's not giving you provision so you can spend it on something frivolously. He's giving you provision so you can walk in your calling. He's releasing the provision. He's not trying to make rich people in church. He's trying to make purposeful people in his kingdom. You sit before him and say, God, this can be yours. Bring it through me. I'm willing to bring it out. If you would bring this, Lord, I want it. And we start to press into a place of travail and pain and passion. Watch what God does in the earth. Watch what he does. Paul said he travailed in childbirth until Christ was formed in us. This is not just an Old Testament thing. So I wrote down a couple things that I feel like God was highlighting. He wants to birth holiness in this place. I believe that God wants to birth compassion again. He wants to birth boldness. He wants to birth the expression of the gifts of the Spirit in this place. He's breathing on intercession right now. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the Lamas. He's like, when he gave his Spirit to the disciples, life came out. And he's breathing. Because he's birthing Christ in people. Jesus the evangelist. We need him. We need him on the inside. After travail comes joy. John 16, Jesus said, a woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that is born into the world. I think a lot of this talk about pain brings up some trauma and some events, some bad thoughts, some unresolved issues. It starts to wound us emotionally. And we start to wonder if this is just my cross I got to carry. I believe the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. That joy comes in the morning. Do we still believe that? I believe that when we submit this before the Lord, he gets to carry the weight. of our problems. He gets to bring it to fruition. A praying church becomes a birthing church. A birthing church becomes a harvesting church. And a harvesting church becomes a sending church. This, we can't just get to sign people up and send them out. It starts with the presence of God. It starts in a place of persisting in prayer. The Lord spoke this to me, said, your tears have been labor pains. Can I just read something I feel was prophetic I wanted to share? You can weigh it and judge it. This church has cried long enough. This people have carried long enough. This family has prayed long enough. The intercessor has groaned long enough. There is a birthing anointing in this room right now. I hear the Spirit saying, push past discouragement. Push past offenses. Push past the weariness. Push past disappointment. Push past fear. Because what's on the other side of this prayer is new life. Samuel is coming. Revival is coming. Healing is coming. The prodigals are coming. Fresh fire is coming. Your breakthrough is coming. And the question is coming. Will we travail? Will we partner what we see in the Old Testament with what we saw Paul do, with the example and the trauma that we've experienced, and press into a place of expectation? When someone's pregnant, it's said of her that she's expecting. Would we go to a place of expecting something in the Spirit? Because right now, God is pouring out His Spirit in this room. He's pouring out His Spirit if we would receive it. I want to take some time this morning and just have the worship team play. They have a song prepared. But I think that some people need to come and meet with the Lord. To come up and say, I've let the pain rule me too long. I need the passion to come forth. I've let what they did to me and what they said to me and the prolonged waiting of the promise, I've let that wound me too deeply. I need more than God to heal it. I need Him to use it. I need Him to birth that thing. I'm not allowing the dream to die. And I'm not aborting what's been conceived. I'm bringing it forth. I'm bringing it forth. I'm bringing it forth, says the Lord. I'm bringing it forth. I'm bringing it forth, says the Lord. I'm releasing. I have released from heaven. And we are going to see the delivery in Jesus' name. We're going to see the delivery in Jesus' name. The pain that you've been holding is a sign of new birth. He's turning the pain into a promise. Prophetic words that you held from long ago that have now tried to twist themselves into doubt. Doubt is falling off because the promise is coming. We're in the season where the promise is showing. I walked this out with my wife. We cried for 10 years for God to give us a child. The pain made us intercessors. The opportunity for it to break us up brought us closer because we let the glory of God be released over our pain. This isn't a light thing. These are the deepest things. These aren't easy things. These are hurtful things. I'm going to get out of the way and let the word of the Lord come through the worship team. If you guys would just release ministry. Sing. The altar is open if you need to come up and respond. If you want someone to pray with you, we'll be up here. We can pray with you. If you want to sit in your seat or lay on the floor and respond to God, we just It's not about the posture of your body as much as the posture of your heart. Get before the Lord right now, because I don't want you to miss this. If you hear the word of the Lord, you can eat. If you hear the word of the Lord and believe, you can leave here with hope in your heart that the things that have hurt have turned into hope. Do a transformation, God, in Jesus' name.